It was one of those protests which really did what it said on the tin. The call was for a mass sit-in at Jebel Hussein roundabout, a major junction in Jordan's capital, Amman. And so from morning onwards they gathered, sitting down, blocking the street, and hearing a range of speakers denounce the Jordanian authorities. There are just a few days to go until elections here in Jordan, the first under a new constitution which promises that voting will be free and fair. But these people are turned up to say they don't buy it.
We don't know whether they are going to be false or fake elections, because last experiment was completely fake and cheated, you know. So we don't believe that these elections are representing us, or all the people, the nation.
One widespread complaint among protesters is the power that the Jordanian king retains. Once a parliament is elected next week, Abdullah II will still have the right to dismiss it and rule by decree. He'll also have a say in the selection of the prime minister. And it's the king who appoints Jordan's upper house, which can amend or veto legislation. Among those who joined the sit-in protest was the former MP Ali Dalain, who quit because he felt there was no point serving under such a dominant monarch.
We're demanding and asking him more than 20 years to retain some of this authority, or most of this authority, to the public or to the people in general. That's why we are rejecting and refusing this election.
Some people say, look, you're just going to have to accept that democracy comes slowly, that the king is slowly giving power away to people. It'll happen.
We are waiting this king more than 13 years to do some real steps in democracy. We cannot wait 10 or 20 years more.
And so to midday prayers. But these were incorporated into the protest, making it a combined political and religious al fresco event. As in a mosque, women were mostly kept separate from the male protesters today. But they were still very much out in force. I met one university professor who told me why Islam is central to her vision for a new Jordan.
You know that Islam is a religion for society and a religion for faith. There is no secularism in Islam. So we believe it's the religion of the country and the civil society, the civil law, and so on.
So all laws should be based on Islam?
All laws, yes, because Islam can, you know, formulate law for society.
Allahu Akbar! Takbir! Allahu Akbar!
It's important to understand that this is very much a demonstration of two halves, if you like. On the one hand, there are Islamists calling for a stronger role for religion in this country. On the other hand, there are secular activists here, often they're very young, with a very different idea of what a future democratic Jordan should look like.
Look, I'm not an Islamic party or related to it. Their ideology is completely different than mine, but this Islamic movement is a part of our society. So what I'm demanding for myself, I have to demand for them as well, which is to live in a democracy country.
You're a secularist. What some people think is that if there was real democracy here in Jordan, the Islamists who you see here today would end up controlling everything. Does that ever worry you?
I don't think this gonna go like that in our country. But if the Islamic party win the election in the country, so that means the people want them to rule the country. This is the democracy.
The protest wasn't quite as stern and po-faced as it might sound. At one point, the crowd waved yellow cards in the air, using a metaphor from football to indicate this was a final warning. If they're not listened to, they say, their rulers will find themselves being sent off the pitch altogether.
We will go continuously for a protest, peaceful protest. I mean, in all the cities, all the villages. If you remember the French Revolution, there was 1% of the people revoluting. They succeed. Now, we don't think that a lot of people are protesting in Jordan, but we think that more and more of the people is going to protest, and we will succeed.